Welcome to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio advocate Francine Silverman at talkradioadvocate.com. This show is all about cruises, and my guest today is Andrew Kroglansky, who with his wife Susan started their website in December 2011 to pass their love for cruising on to others. His website is cruisesuz, that's suz.com/about-us. And their travel agency website is at Susan Kroglansky, that's kruglansky.cruiseshipcenters.com/home.aspx. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, in August of 2012, you became affiliated with Expedia Cruise Ship Centers. Now, on Expedia's and Cruise Ship Centers, according to their website, has been one of North America's leading cruise vacation specialists since 1987, with over 160 retail locations and 3,800 professionally trained cruise counselors. We are committed to delivering you outstanding service and cruise value online and in store. So, Andrew, did you become travel agents via Expedia?
No, we were actually involved with another agency before that, and we decided to switch to Expedia because their resources available to us and our ability to help our customers is so much better.
How does it actually work? How does Expedia work with you?
Well, actually, we have a travel agent site, the address of which you've just given your listeners, and it's a full travel agency, fully connected with Expedia, specializing in cruising, but also able to do all other bookings, including airlines, hotels, and land packages. And that's the resource that's made available to us. They provide us with the booking engine. They provide us with their purchasing power. They provide us with their support. And then we provide our customers with our own personal touch in terms of customer service.
Is that like American Express? Travel agents are associated with American Express.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how American Express works in terms of affiliating with travel agents. But in this case, basically, Expedia, which obviously is a household name in the travel industry, makes its resources available to travel agents who affiliate with them. This is the best way for travel agents to obtain the purchasing power to give value to their customers.
Oh, so in other words, you became a travel agent and you cooked up with Expedia to use their reputation and their purchasing support and everything else. Now, you were born in Poland and you spent your early childhood in Israel. You lived in Canada for 17 years and have lived in Florida since 1976. You also completed coursework towards a PhD in international affairs with a concentration on the Middle East. So what point was it that you developed the love of cruising after a quick trip to the Bahamas?
Well, what actually happened is we traveled a little bit before then, and I actually practiced as a CPA for about 30 years. And about 17 years ago, my wife and daughter, we live in Florida, and they took me on a weekend cruise to the Bahamas to celebrate Father's Day. And we were on a Norwegian cruise line ship, and it was the first ship I'd ever been on that had an art option, and I was interested in art. The girls wanted to go play bingo, and that's really not my thing. So I went to the art option. But half an hour later, they came running in screaming, "We won, we won." So I asked them what they'd won, and they said they won a cruise. So we were all prepared to take another cruise to the Bahamas, which would have been wonderful. But actually, a Norwegian made available to us a choice of 18 cruises, ranging from 3 days in the Bahamas to 21 days in Europe.
Wow.
About amazing choice, right?
Yeah, to win a cruise when you're on a cruise, boy.
Yeah.
That's really something.
And it was amazing. And about 8 weeks later, we were on our way to Europe.
So then what happened? You were a CPA. What happened? Did you give it up?
I retired from the practice of CPA, of accounting, decided to do something else for a living. We'd done a lot of traveling. We've taken well in excess of 60 cruises. We've traveled all over the world. And we decided that we needed a change and getting into the travel industry, because that's our passion, would be a perfect fit for us.
So how is it working now when your cruise site? I know you have a blog, and you have the travel agency website. There's so many different travel agents out there. How do you attract customers?
Well, I run my own website. I designed my own website. I act as webmaster for it. I write the articles for it, and I've written in excess of 110 articles since we opened towards the end of last December. And it's actually going very well. I have a very nice following for my keywords searches that are done on the internet. I'm on the first page of Google at this point. When for one of my keywords, for example, I'm on the first page when there are over almost 14 million pages. So I'm doing very well, and people come on. They read my stories. They see that we know what we're talking about, and we can help them to enjoy a vacation, because we've been there and we know what to look for, and we know how to plan it, and they take advantage of that.
Yeah, well, you know, I read that if you write articles, that's a good way to promote yourself, and you're syndicated by various sites, including Demand Media Studio, which is a NASDAQ-traded company that manages part of USA Travel's section. And to date, USA Today has published 5 of your travel articles. As I told you, I went there and I was rejected. But I guess you have to be a pro to get accepted by them.
Well, I consider myself fortunate to have been accepted. I contacted them and asked them to take a look at my articles that I've written for my blog site, and they reviewed the blog site and they liked what they saw. So I'm grateful. I feel lucky about that.
Yeah, you should. You're a good writer. That's why. Anyway, you have a cruise forum, but it appears to me that no one has participated. So you have glowing comments on your site, and you have a following. So what is it? People don't use the cruise forum?
Well, at this point, they don't. I did a lot of research in making a decision as to whether to launch the cruise forum this early or not, and I wanted to give my my visitors, my followers, an opportunity to interact both with each other and with me and my wife. So I put the cruise forum on. But statistically, statistics show that it takes traffic of maybe in excess of 5,000 unique people per day before something like a cruise forum takes off, before people feel comfortable to begin doing more than just reading the site and making a few comments, to actually begin interacting. So, you know, we're early in the game. We haven't been here quite a year yet, and hopefully that'll take off sometime in the future.
Oh, I see. You just leave it there, and you just hope that somebody will start the ball rolling.
More than that, I mean, when I write articles, I ask questions, and I encourage people to respond to those questions in the forum. But it takes a while for people to actually react to that and begin doing that.
Yeah. I guess you can't win them all.
It's not a matter of winning them all. It's just a matter of patience.
If the 63 cruises to Europe, Hawaii, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Southeast Asia, Thailand, Hong Kong, China, South Africa, South America, the Mediterranean, the Caribbean. What was the most fascinating trip that you've taken so far?
Well, you know, it's it's hard to identify one particular trip that was more fascinating than other. The world is just an amazing place to travel through, and the learning experiences are incredible. But one thing that sticks out in my mind is a pre-cruise that we did when we took a cruise of the Far East, beginning in Tianjin, China, when we stopped in the city of Xi'an. And the city of Xi'an is an amazing place. It's a city of about 13 million people. It's famous for the Terracotta Warriors. Terracotta Warriors were basically terracotta statues, each with a unique face. There's an estimate right now that there are 8,000 of them altogether, and 2,000 of them have been reassembled. And they were part of a funerary burial site for the first emperor of China. People that go to Xi'an see that for sure, and I would not go to Xi'an without seeing that as well. But there are a couple of other interesting things that we saw while we were there. For example, there's a Banpo village, which is a 6,000-year-old village that was excavated fairly recently. And that village is interesting because you can see artifacts. And when you look at those artifacts, they really remind you a lot of things that we use today. It's amazing that they were available 6,000 years ago. For example, you will see fish hooks. And those fish hooks are made out of bone instead of metal because the Iron Age wasn't upon us yet back then. However, they're identical to what you can buy in big sporting goods today. They look identical to them in design. Okay, you see needles made out of bone as well, but the eyes of the needles are as fine as the eyes of today's needles, and the needles are as small, which means they must have been using thread back then. The area that this is located in is an area where clay is the predominant substance, and they would make beds out of clay, hollow them out, and put wood underneath and light the wood so that they would feel warm at night. They would dig holes in the clay and put wood and leaves on top of them. The clay would keep food cold, and they would use that as their refrigerator. From Banpo, we went to an area where it's an area that they call the area of the cave dwellers, where people live today, people who are retired in China. And they basically dig holes in what amounts to clay hills, make caves for themselves, and live almost identically to the way that people lived in Banpo 6,000 years ago. You see the same holes in the ground used as fridges. You see the same beds with hollowed-out centers where they put wood in so that they can light a fire at night to keep themselves warm. It was just a totally amazing experience.
Is this place along the river that you you were on a cruise, right?
Well, we were on a cruise, but this was a pre-cruise. What we did was we took a few days. We arrived a few days early, and we flew from Beijing to Xi'an in order to see the Terracotta Warriors.
How far is it from Beijing?
Yeah.
How far is it?
It's I would say maybe 2 hours flight, something like that.
Oh, so it's nowhere near Beijing.
No.
Because I was in Beijing, but I've never been to the. The way you're describing, that's amazing. So in other words, the how do you pronounce it? Xi'an.
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 Yeah.
Xi'an. They have tools that are like.
Well, Xi'an is the big city there. It's, like I said, it's a city of about 13 million people. But in that city, they've excavated the Banpo village, which is the 6,000-year-old village I was talking about. And that's where you find these tools that they've excavated made out of bone that look pretty much identical to a lot of things we use today.
Oh, so are the people there living like they lived 6,000 years ago, or is it the area of the cave dwellers?
It's area of the cave dwellers, which is a little bit out of Xi'an. It's about half an hour's ride out of Xi'an.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll discuss some general questions about travel, about cruise travel. Okay?
Wonderful.
All right. Okay, we're back. We're talking with Andrew. And, let's see. How do you save money when you're looking to book a cruise?
Well, there are many ways to save money. One of the ways is to book early. And when you book early, there are two ways to do it. the best way to book early is to book and take advantage of offers that the cruise lines offer you when you're actually on board a cruise. The cruise lines have a great interest in making sure that they don't have any excess capacity, that they don't sell with any empty cabins. So in order to make sure that they fill those cabins, because, of course, people in those cabins, even if they don't pay a lot for the cruise, provide tips to cabin stewards and waiters and spend money on the ship, et cetera. So it's very important for them to fill all cabins.
You mean when you're on the cruise, you should book the next cruise?
When you're on the cruise, if you're going to book in advance, okay, if you need to schedule your cruise significantly in advance because you need to plan these things out so your vacation time coincides, et cetera, your best deals are usually available right on the cruise.
Oh.
If you're not on the cruise, there are still very good pre-cruise deals available well in advance, okay? If you have time, if you have the ability to make last-minute decisions, if you don't have to plan very far in advance, the best deals are available last minute. Again, for the same reason. The cruise lines do not like to sail with empty cabins. So they will do everything within their power to make sure that the cabins don't sail empty. And the closer you get to sailing time, the more they're willing to forego in terms of the cost of cruises to make sure that the cabin doesn't sail empty. So taking advantage of last-minute rates is a terrific way to go, too. A third thing is that a lot of major cruise companies, for example, Expedia, book blocks of cabins on ships and get special group rates. Expedia, for example, at any given time, usually has at least 100 different groups booked on various ships on various sailings all over the world. And getting access to those group rates, you don't need to book more than one cabin, but you usually can't get access to them without actually talking to an Expedia travel agent. You can go on the Expedia site and book, but those things usually will not be available there. So to take advantage of the best opportunities, you may want to call your travel agent and find out what group rates are available before you make a decision.
So, in other words, you can use your own travel agent?
Well,
Should you use a travel agent or should you just book through Expedia?
Well, Expedia travel agents, okay? If you call us, we will be able to find out where you want to go and make whatever group rates are available to you. If you go on the Expedia site, you will be booking individual rates, not group rates. Group rates are usually only available by calling somebody like us.
Aha. Yeah, I see that your wife is in the corner of the website. It says to call her.
Correct.
So she.
Yeah, she's been involved in this travel agency since we first got married for decades, and so she handles that part, and I handle the website.
Oh. Now you wrote something about planning your own excursions. Can you do that? Can you plan your own excursion?
Absolutely. Let me show you an example. Again, getting back to the trip that we took, the pre-cruise trip that we took in China, okay? The pre-cruise with the cruise line would have cost us $4,000 for a couple for 4 days, $1,000 a day, okay? Instead of that, we found out which hotels the cruise line was staying at. And actually, in certain situations, stayed at better hotels. We went on chat rooms and found out what guides people used that they liked and contacted those guides online and booked them. We arranged our airfare online, as you can do on our site in Expedia. And we basically did the same trip that the cruise line wanted $4,000 for, and it cost us $600.
Wait a minute. It did cost you $4,000 or it didn't?
No, it did not. Since we booked it ourselves, planned it all ourselves, it only cost us $600 for the 4 days.
Oh. Now, that included the cruise or it didn't?
Well, no, that's just the pre-cruise package, the 4 days before the cruise on land.
Oh, the pre-cruise.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you did the research. You found out what hotels. Well, the cruise line doesn't use hotels.
What should they do? For the pre-cruise land packages, they use hotels. So So, for example, in Xi'an, we found out that the best hotel in Xi'an is the Sheraton Resort, and that's the hotel that the cruise line guests who did the pre-cruise line package stayed at. So that's where we booked.
So is this something that other people do, or is this something that you just came up with and you just decided you wanted to do this?
Well, I'm sure we're not the only ones doing it, but that's the way we have always enjoyed traveling. And you can do that and even book, like, excursions right off the ship that way. There are people waiting on the dock when you get off the ship, and you can arrange whatever trips you want with them as long as you know in advance what you want to do. So there are lots of options and lots of ways to save money.
And what about post-excursion, post-cruise?
Amounts to the same thing. You decide where you're going to be, how long you want to stay there. You research on the Internet. You interact with people on the Internet, let's say in forums like ours when it gets going, or other forums like on Cruise Critic and that sort of thing, and chat with people who've already been there and had good experiences as guides. Quite often you can get the names of the guides, you can get contact information for them, and you can make whatever arrangements you want.
Wow. Really fascinating.
Yeah, it's,
how do you get from where you are to the ship?
Well, what we did was in each case we hired a guide, and part of the guide's responsibility was to get us to and from the airport or to and from port. So when we were in Xi'an, we were picked up by our guide at the airport. He took us to our hotel. We overnight at the hotel, and he picked us early next morning to take us on our tours. And then at the end of the tours, we were already packed. The suitcases were in his car, and he took us right to the airport and dropped us off. Okay? And when we were in Beijing, we had to go to Tianjin to catch the ship. So our guide, part of what we booked him for, is to take us from our hotel, the Kempinski in Beijing, all the way to Tianjin, which is a couple of hours away, and drop us off at the port so we can board the ship.
I assume he's an English-speaking guide.
Absolutely. Well, what we did, we knew that the guide in Xi'an was English-speaking because we had talked to, chatted with some people online who had used him before. Then in Beijing, we had a little more of a problem, so we found out that Gray Line, which is an American company, has a tour service in Beijing. So we used them and made sure they gave us an English-speaking guide, and everything was set.
So what have your articles been about? Which articles were picked up by USA Today? Just curious.
We've had some articles about cruise line news and that sort of thing that were picked up by USA Today. The first article that was picked up by USA Today was an article about the new Oceania Riviera ship. We did a full review of the ship, and that was picked up by USA Today. There was an article about river cruising in Holland, especially during tulip season, and where to go and what to see. That article, we actually... it was a joint effort between us and a woman who runs a travel agency in Holland. She contacted us and offered to join forces with us on doing that article, and that was published in USA Today. Those sorts of articles.
So do the articles, do you get feedback on those articles that get picked up?
The only feedback I get is the traffic that's generated. And, a site like USA Today gets extraordinary traffic. In terms of page views, we're talking about in excess of 150,000 views a day. It's quite different than our main site. Hopefully we'll get there one day, but not yet.
So now how do you do it? You were saying that your wife has been in the business for so long. So how do you divide the... you do the website, she does the booking?
yeah, she handles dealing with the clients and the making the plans for them and making the reservations for them and making providing the customer service for them. And I handle the writing of the articles and running the website and keeping everything going from that respect.
And when you go on these trips, do you have to pay for them?
Yes.
So in other words, it's not like when you're a travel agent or you're a travel counselor or somebody like you're doing a review of Oceania. They don't pay you to come on the ship and review it?
No, they don't. No, they would not pay me to come on the ship and review it. But they did cooperate with me in the sense that they gave me a lot of material and answered any questions that I had. They were really very, very cooperative in giving me information.
Yeah, no, because, you can't do this if you're poor. You can't be in this business if you're poor, because if you have to pay for every trip you go on. But I guess if you're getting the traffic and paying you, then it works in a circular form, right?
It does. But on the other hand, keep in mind that most of the cruising that we did was before we decided to get into this business. We did that just because we loved it. Okay, so it was a matter of us wanting to get into the business because we already loved travel and not getting into the business and saying, hey, we got to start traveling so we know what we're talking about.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's true. Well, we have about three more minutes. If there's anything you'd like to talk about that I haven't covered, please do.
Well, as I was saying, we're really excited about what we are doing. Writing the articles is something that's a passion of mine. And it's amazing what you can see in the world. We've been on safaris in Kruger National Park in South Africa, in Queensland, in Australia. We did a midnight safari because marsupials are nocturnal, so you got to see them late at night. We've dived the Great Barrier Reef, dived the Red Sea. We've been to Europe at least 7-8 times and traveled all over Europe. It's the world is an amazing place. And when you go around and see everything that there is to see, you learn more about how similar people are to you than how different they are to you. And education is something that is invaluable.
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is. Now, the safari, that must have been a river cruise, right?
No, actually, we stayed in if you're talking about in South Africa,
yeah.
We stayed in a lodge just outside Kruger National Park, and that was really a lamb's trip as opposed to a cruise.
That was a what cruise?
That was a lamb's trip instead of a cruise. Not everything we do is cruising, although most.
Oh, you also do land cruises.
Yeah.
Land trips.
Yeah. You know, it's an amazing experience to be driving along in a Land Rover and have to stop because a herd of elephants wants to cross the road in front of you. You know, the only place you can get that experience is there.
Well, I hope you're a photographer along with being a writer.
Well, absolutely. Most of the photographs on my site I took myself.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for being my guest, Andrew. You're just a wealth of information.
Thank you, Francine. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. And again, the site is cruisesuz.com.
Right.
Right? That you can get there just by that. You don't need the About Us, right?
Absolutely. Just cruisesuz.com is fine.
cruisesuz.com. Thank you again.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Shore with Silverman. TalkRadioAdvocate.com. Happy cruising!